Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word today. We thank you for the truth that you convey to us through that word. And we ask that you would do that today and minister wisdom and insight and direction, because we're looking for you today. We're looking for understanding. We're looking for wisdom. We want to know how to serve you, how to love you more and more, how to open our hearts to you more and more. So use this time, we pray, to just speak to our hearts. We're so grateful, Lord, for the word that you've preserved for us these many years. And we thank you that it is still alive, active in our lives, and challenging us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Titus chapter 2, if you have your Bible open there. Paul is continuing to write here in this letter to Titus, and kind of turns to dealing with some practical information to some various age groups. He's going to deal with what kind of things to teach to older men, to older women, to younger women, younger men, and slaves throughout the course of this chapter. But before all of that begins, he kind of sets it up in verse 1 by saying, and you'll look there with me, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Now, what that basically means is whatever you're teaching the people, let it be consistent with the Word of God. You know, everything that we teach, I mean, how do I want to say this? I got to say this carefully. There are things that we say to people about in encouraging them that may not be word for word verbatim in the Word of God, but it is consistent with the Word of God. Does that make sense? It is in keeping with the revelation of God's Word. For example, if somebody were to say to me, you know, Pastor Paul, how do you think God feels about, you know, cigarette smoking or something like that? And the question has come up from time to time. Well, you're not going to find a passage in the Bible that says, thou shalt not light up, sort of a thing. You know, it's not the 11th commandment. But I would probably take them to some passages that would speak on stewardship of the body you've been given. In fact, the matter that you know, you've been bought with a price, you know, that your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the Lord, and so forth, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians. So, you know, that is giving an instruction or an exhortation that is in keeping with the Word of God. It isn't verbatim, this is what, you know, it says, but it's in keeping. I trust that it's consistent with the Word of God. That's what Paul is saying here. When he says to Titus, teach what is in accordance or in keeping with the Word of God. Don't run off half-cocked and start telling people they ought to do this or they ought to do that when there's absolutely no biblical foundation for it. That's when we start getting into weirdness. And we start heaping rules on people and so on and so on. And we got to be careful of that. So Paul begins now, after making this initial statement in verse 1, to give some guidelines related to these different age groups. And he starts with the older men. Now, I don't know if there's any older men here in this room, or at least any who would admit it. You know, I was talking with my kids here recently about what is old, what constitutes old, you know, and they had some interesting things to say on that. Of course, you know, I remember when I was a kid, old was 25. You know what I mean? It's like, man, you're probably going to die any day, you know. But, of course, now here I am 50, and 50 doesn't even seem all that old anymore, you know, sort of a thing. But whatever older is, you know, whatever it is, he says to Titus, teach the older men to be temperate. And the word temperate means not given to wild mood swings, you know, high highs and low lows and so forth. Not being emotionally reactive, but being more even keeled when you're dealing with life and that sort of thing. He says that they should also be men who are worthy of respect. Your Bible may say reverent, perhaps even use the word dignified. This carries the idea of men not behaving in an immature or vulgar fashion. And again, we're talking about older men. You know what he's really telling Titus to tell the older guys? Act your age. It's basically it. Act your age. And we're going to see why here in a little bit. And Paul's going to bring it out as he begins to speak to Titus about what the older women ought to be sharing with the younger women. But, you know, I think that that very much applies to what we're seeing here as it relates to older men. Why would he say things like this to older men? Just because this is the way you're supposed to behave and you'll make God really happy if you do it that way? No, there's younger men. And they need to be ministered to. And so he starts off by saying the older men ought to be temperate. They ought to be more even-keeled. Because you know what? The younger men really typically aren't. I mean, I remember when I was a younger man, it wasn't all that long ago. And I remember that many times I was given to much greater swings of emotion than I am today, thank you, Lord. But as a man who's, you know, starting to get a little bit older, I want to be able to convey a sense of peace and balance to the younger men. And what a wonderful thing it is for a young guy who is going through kind of a time of emotional turmoil for whatever reason to have an older man come along and say, it's okay. It's okay. You're going to be okay. You know? God's going to see you through this time. Some of you may know, I just got back from a pastor's conference here just a few weeks ago down in Southern California. And some of you may know Mike McIntosh, who pastors a Calvary Chapel down in San Diego. He was one of the first Calvary Chapel pastors to go and start a new work from the original Calvary there in Costa Mesa. But Mike's a great guy, you know, totally, totally into the drugs thing when he was younger. And just, you know, I mean, and drugs really tweaked him too. After he got saved, this is an aside, but after Mike got saved and he was coming to church, he still was having the effect of the hallucinogenic drugs that he took for so many years were still having a very profound effect on him. And he would walk up to people after church and get into a conversation and then apologize to them that half of his head was missing. Now, it wasn't, but he was hallucinating still from the leftover from drugs. And he would literally say to people, yeah, I'm really sorry about the way I look. And they'd go, what is it about the way you look? You say, you know, half of my head got blown away, and you know, serious. I mean, that's how tweaked this guy was from hallucinogenic drugs. Now he's pastoring one of the biggest Calvary chapels in the country, which says a little something about Calvary Chapel pastors, but we won't go there. But anyway, he's a little bit older than I am, and you know, you hit 40 and things just start falling apart, right? You know, it's like there's a clock, you know, boom, and the body just starts falling, dropping on the floor. And he was sharing with all of us how he had gone through a particularly painful year in terms of physical issues. And he was telling how difficult it was to go through that time. And yet he got on the phone with Pastor Chuck, who is in his early 80s, who's been there, you know, been down that road many, many times. And Chuck said, and this is Mike relating this to us at the conference, but he said, Pastor Chuck said to him, Mike, this is just a bump in the road. And Mike's talking to us. He's going like, it didn't feel like a bump in the road. It felt like Mount Vesuvius in the road. And it was about to erupt, you know, sort of a thing. It was an enormous thing to him. And yet, Pastor Chuck had the experience and the temperance that comes over time that enables him to look at a younger man and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. God's going to see you through this time. We need that in the older guys. We really do. We need them to be temperate. We need them to be self-controlled. We need them to be worthy of respect. You'll notice that I'm covering some of the words that are being used here. Notice also, he says that men are to be sound in faith. Boy, that's, guys, and I'm talking to you who like me, have a little, you know, gray in your hair. Or maybe you have a lot of gray in your hair, or maybe you don't have any hair. But the younger men need us to be sound in the faith so that we can exhort them according to the Word of God. And they need to know that when they come to us for advice and they're looking at the godliness of our lives and the years that are under our belt, that they're going to see that it's going to be a straight, solid, biblical answer that we're going to give. And we're not going to waffle on it, you know. So the older men need to be sound. The word sound means healthy. Healthy in their faith and in their understanding of the Word of God. Notice that it also says that men are to be sound in love. Isn't that an interesting thing for him to say about older men? When's the last time you met a loving older man? I hope that it hasn't been long. Because it's an interesting thing that you can meet some men who are not loving, they're cranky. Right? Because life can make you hard or it can soften you. And I remember as a kid when I was about 4 or 5 years old, before I started going to school, there was an old man named Mr. Beecher who lived next to us in this little town in Minnesota, and I used to go over and hang out with Mr. Beecher during the day and help him in his garden, pull up his asparagus and whatever all else he was growing out there. And I loved Mr. Beecher because he was a gentle, soft-hearted old man. I don't even know how old he was. I was 5, so like I said, you know, 20 would have been old. But he was old. When I think back on it, he was, you know, yeah, he was old. Anyway, but loved Mr. Beecher. What a great, you know, I'd sit out on the steps and he'd help me fix my bicycle and, you know. But Mr. Beecher had a friend who'd come over from time to time who was about his same age, I expect. And this guy was just an old, rough, cranky coot, you know. And he couldn't say a nice word about anything or anybody. And he often used profanity. And I remember he even bit at me a few times, you know. Because 5-year-olds are going to do things, of course. And I remember he'd nip at me. Like kind of an old dog that had been beaten with a hose too long or something. And I remember even as a kid seeing the difference between these two men. And one of them was hard and cranky and gruff, and the other guy was gentle and loving, and you know, life can do that to you depending on how you approach it and what kind of things you give to the Lord. And so the word here that Paul gives to Titus for the younger men is make sure that they're sound, make sure they're literally healthy in the things of love, that they know how to love. You know, it blesses my heart to see an older man shed a tear from time to time. It really does. It just blesses me. So, you know, you see one of these old guys, he's been through the rough side of life and he's got calluses on his hands and you know, and he's just, you can tell that he's been a hard-working man for, you know, you start telling him about the love of Jesus or somebody who got saved and he starts tearing up. Love that. I love to see a man, an older man, who still has a soft heart. It's a beautiful thing, it really is. It says that not only is a man to be sound in love, he's to be sound, look here, in endurance. In other words, he's a man who is healthy in the understanding of what it means to be patient, to patiently wait for the Lord, to trust in God with all of your heart, and to just walk through the hard times and not give up. That's what endurance is really all about. And you know, what help is it if you have an old man who says, well, you're going through a hard time, here's my advice, run. You know, run. Get away from that thing. No, you got an older man who says, you know what, I've been down those kind of roads a few times in my life, and here's my advice. Just keep standing. Stand strong. Stand in the Lord. And trust in Him, and He's going to see you through this time. And He'll give you the ability to endure and persevere till the end of this trial. But don't give up. Don't run. Just stand. Don't we need that in older men? Don't we need men to come alongside us? To be that voice of the confidence of the Lord, the strength of God, the experience of their lives? You know, we need those things. So men need to be strong in endurance. And then Paul goes on in verse 3. He says, likewise teach the older women to be reverent also in the way they live. And so he uses that same word reverent that he does for the men. And then he explains what he means by reverent. He says, teach the women also, he says, not to be slanderers. The NASB, New American Standard Bible, uses the words not malicious gossips. And you want to hear something crazy about the word that is translated malicious gossips or slanderers? In the Greek, it's where we get our word devil. It's diablo. And it is the idea that Satan is the father of lies. and that when we gossip and speak maliciously and slanderously against someone, that we are actually cooperating with the father of lies. Isn't that interesting? So Paul says, I want you to teach the older women not to let go of their tongue and let it just, you know, do those sorts of things. He's talking to women who are, for all intents and purposes, past their childbearing, child-raising years. They probably no longer have young children or maybe even children at all in the home. The kids have grown and they've gone and started their own homes and so forth. And now these women have more time than they used to have. I mean, they were very busy, you know, in those earlier years. And now there's more time. And the temptation is there to talk to other people. And gossip is a terrible, terrible thing. What's interesting about gossip, it's something that we all do and none of us will admit to. Truly. You know, if somebody's saying something about somebody else and you were to say to them, you know what, I don't think you ought to be saying that. I think that's gossip. They'd say, well, I'm not gossiping. I'm just talking behind their back. I'm just telling you that. Or even doing it in the guise of, you know, pray for Bob, you know. He's really going through some financial struggles. And the last I heard, it's looking like bankruptcy is right around the corner. So be praying about that. Yeah, right. That is gossip, you guys. And it ought not to be done. And that's what Paul's saying. These ladies who now have more time on their hands, let it not be spent cooperating with the enemy and saying things that frankly ought not to be said. If you ever want to find out what the Word of God has to say on gossip, just do a word search in the book of Proverbs. Look up every reference to the word gossip, and you'll find some interesting verses related to that. But so the older women are not to do that. He also says they're not to be addicted to much wine. Now, that's a qualification we've heard before. It's one that was given for church leadership, in fact, and it's the idea that even though wine was used as a fairly common beverage in those days, women are not to drink to excess. They're not to ever drink to drunkenness, obviously. But they are instead to teach what is good. Why? Well, it's really the same thing for the older women as it was from the older men. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, then they can train the younger women. And that's what ought to be going on in the body of Christ. The older women ought to be training the younger women. They ought to be speaking to and counseling the younger women. I am so blessed in this fellowship to have a plethora of wonderful older women in this fellowship whom I can call upon to spend time in counsel with younger women, because sometimes the younger women will come to me and I'll sit down and I can chat with them for a while, but it would be inappropriate for me to carry on that conversation on an ongoing basis. Just wouldn't be a good idea. But there's some wonderful, wonderful ladies in our fellowship who I can call up on the phone and just say, hey, there's a gal in our fellowship who just really needs some time to sit down and talk some things out, and she has some questions about various things. Would you be able to do that with her? Absolutely. And they get together for a period of time, and it's just this beautiful biblical picture of the older women teaching the younger women and encouraging them and discipling them. And it really is a wonderful thing. So that's what Paul is saying to Titus. We need this. And let me just stop for just a moment to say, I think this is God's way of saying to those of us in this room who are getting a little older that God needs you. How you like that? In fact, I'll even go so far as to say that there is no retirement program in the kingdom of God. How you like that? Now, there may be a mandatory retirement program where you work, you get to 65, 70, whatever it is, in whatever job you're in. Sometimes it might even be less than that, depending on your job. But I just want you to know something. There is no retirement in God's kingdom. And the older you get, the more we need you. And we need to war against some of the things that go on in our culture that essentially kind of give permission to older people to just kind of kick back and cruise. And you know, you hear that word idle attached to so many things today. I see it, you know, when we were on vacation, I don't know how many RVs I passed, and the brand name was Idle something. idle time, idle hours, and you have whole apartment complexes that say idle something because they're for retirement purposes or for people that are in those retirement years, or we talk about idle this and idle that. Well, that may be fine as it relates to your job, but we are never to be idle in the things of the Lord, ever. And there is no retirement program. There's a great life insurance policy in the kingdom of God, but no retirement. And so essentially what we're saying is in the kingdom of God, we basically kind of drop in the harness. And that's an old phrase that was used to describe, a workhorse or a beast of burden that would literally die in the process of whatever they were pulling or doing, and it drop in the harness. You know, that's what we're kind of called to do in the kingdom of God, to live our lives out serving the Lord. And maybe you've been kind of thinking along with the world, well, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to work, I'm going to get to retirement age, and then I'm going to play. Well, you know what? That doesn't come from a biblical worldview. It comes from a cultural worldview. And again, it's something we got to war against as it relates to our service to the kingdom of God. Listen, if you are still breathing today, then that shows that God's not done with you. He's not finished with you yet. I mean, if your heart is beating, and I'm trusting that everyone here, that's true of you, then God has things for you to do, however long you live upon this earth. So there you go. How do you like that? So what are some of the things that the younger women need to hear from the older women? Well, for starters, Paul writes to Titus and says that the younger women are to be taught to love their husbands and children. And what this means is they're to make their marriage and their child raising a priority in their life. And we live in a country today where that has not been followed to a large degree. And we have marriages that are not a priority. We have children that are born into families, and those children are not a priority for the parents anyway to raise those kids. Those kids were given to you, not somebody else. And it's your responsibility to raise them up, to love them, to bless them, to encourage them, and so forth. And you know what? There's always going to be something else that needs to be done. Always. And it'll still be there when you're done raising your kids. Those needs will still be there. But somebody comes along and they starts telling you about something that needs to be done, and I think you got to be careful, ladies. I really do. If you have small children in the home, I think that the priority for a young woman with children is her home, is her husband and her children. And I have to be completely honest with you and tell you that it even bothers me a little bit when I hear about younger women who still have children in the home being solicited away from that responsibility to get involved in something that's going to take precious time away from their kids. I mean, who's going to raise the kids, for heaven's sakes? And how much time can we afford to actually not be involved in that process? We only have these kids. Let me tell you something. From hearing it from someone who's already got two kids that are married and gone and out of the house, it's so fast. I mean, it's the blink of an eye. Just last Monday, Sue and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary, and I look at my daughter who has two kids of her own, and I think, good grief, just yesterday you were in diapers. And now you're changing your kids' as diapers. It goes so fast, guys. So be involved and make it a thing of priority. That's what the older women are to be encouraging the younger women to do. Make your children a priority. He also tells Titus to tell the older woman to encourage the younger women to be self-controlled and pure, and those things go together, because when a woman is operating in an attitude of self-control, it's going to lend itself to a greater purity in her life, and she is to be, look at this, busy at home. She's to be busy at home. Now, there's nothing saying that a woman can't do other things. What I've been saying here is that raising kids is an extremely busy thing. I mean, it's a busy life for a woman. And you know, I'll tell you something else, as long as I'm up on my soapbox here just a little bit this morning, is it bugs me when men make cracks to women about, you know, well, someday you'll get a real job. Women, you have my permission to just pop them one right there. Just not hard, just, no, I'm just kidding. That's a dumb thing to say, guys. That job is a full-time, hard job. I mean, and it's full of busyness. And you know, I think that as men, we need to encourage and affirm our wives when they're in the middle of child raising and give them a break once in a while and love on them and tell them how much we appreciate what they do. Because that's a big job. Every once in a while, my wife will go off for a few days to like pastor's wives conference or something like that, and I got to do it all. You know, I got to cook and clean and take care of the kids. And of course, you know, my kids are the two that are still at home. You know, they're fairly self-sufficient for the most part. You know, hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Get something to eat. You know how to pour a bowl of cereal. Get out of, you know, whatever. You know, but. You know, but still, even with the older kids or kids, you know, I mean, they're 14 and 11 now. It's still a lot to do. I keep up on the laundry and, you know, and feed the stupid cats and all that stuff, you know. I can't just go away and let it all fall apart. Well, I could, but I wouldn't have a very happy wife when she got home. He also says that the older women are to teach the younger women to be kind, if you'll notice that there in the word. And that word kind can also be translated generous. And so women are to teach the younger women to have expressions of kindness to one another. And then also he says that they are to teach the younger women to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. What exactly does that mean anyway? What that means is the older women are to be encouraging the younger women in such a way that their marriages are consistent with what God intended a marriage to be, so that when people look at your marriage, younger ladies, they see a godly marriage. And they look at it and they say, oh, that's cool. That's what a godly marriage produces. That's cool. But and that's why he says so that they will not malign the word of God. Your Bible may actually even use the word blaspheme, which I have to admit is a bit strong in this context. But essentially, it means bad mouth. In other words, older women be encouraging the younger women to operate within the context of what God intended for that marriage to be, recognizing the husband as the spiritual head of the home in such a way, being responsive to his leadership role in such a way that when people look at your marriage, it doesn't in and of itself bad mouth the word of God. People ought to look at your marriage and say, hey, that's a Christian marriage, and that's a good thing. I see that as a good thing. It's an honorable thing. That's what it means to honor God with your marriage. And so, you know, these are the things that the older women are supposed to be doing. People, the older speaking to the younger, whether it's older men speaking to the younger men, whether it's older women speaking to the younger women, encouraging them, you know, exhorting them, sometimes rebuking and warning them. Sometimes that's part of it too, and that's never a fun thing to do, you know, when you're dealing with someone, to kind of have to kind of look them in the eye and say, what in the world do you think you're doing? You know, but sometimes it's necessary. But the bottom line here is that we need, okay, what are we saying here? We need the older men, we need the older women to be busy doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's encouraging the next generation. And younger women and younger men, you need to be listening. You need to be listening to the voice of godliness and experience when people come along and share with you and say, you know what, I wouldn't do that if I were you, because I've been down that road and that had nothing but heartache in it. You know? I mean, let their experience speak to your hearts and encourage you along those lines. Now, in the remainder of the chapter, Paul is going to deal with the subject of the things that he ought to teach to the younger men. Good grief, we need a whole Sunday just for that one. But and then he's going to go on to talk about slaves. And we'll talk next week about how that applies to us today. But we're gonna stop there. We'll pick up the rest of the chapter next time. Amen? All right, let's stand together and we'll close in prayer. Please stick around for the barbecue if you're able. Like I said, we're going to have the other small sanctuary nice and cool and tables and chairs over there. And so those of you that are kind of like me and you melt in the heat, come and join us over there. Also, if you have a prayer need this morning, don't leave without somebody praying for you. I absolutely love to pray for people. I do. I really, it's kind of an interesting thing. I've just kind of realized it just recently. It's like, I really like doing that. That's fun. Isn't that weird? I've been doing this for 25 years and I just kind of realized it. But anyway, I'd love to pray with you. If you have a prayer need, something weighing on your heart, there's also other people here in the body that can pray for you just as easily as I can. So if you know them and you're comfortable with it, grab them and say, hey, pray for me. Got something going on in my life and I just need prayer support. That's one of the blessings of being in the body of Christ. You know that we were never called to do it alone? Never? We're not called to walk alone. We're called to walk arm in arm with other people in the body of Christ. So let them bless you. Let them minister to you today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the time that you've given us here today. What a wonderful thing it is to worship you in spirit and truth and to just enjoy your presence and adore you. And then, Lord, thank you also for the ministry of the Word as it speaks to us and brings practical understanding to our hearts about what ministries you've given to us. And Father, I want to pray specifically, first of all, for the older men and the older women in our fellowship. And I want to thank you for them. And I want to thank you for their experience and the things they've walked through. And I want to ask you, my Father God, to just fill them with a new excitement and vision for ministering to the younger men. And also to the older women, I pray that prayer as well, that they would be just encouraged to reach out to the younger women and speak into their lives the wisdom and experience of their years, the godliness of walking with Jesus. And I pray for the younger men and the younger women that they would be receptive and open and responsive to the things that these aged or more aged saints are saying to them. And just pray that it would find a place in their heart where the Word of God and the wisdom of God would germinate and grow and bear fruit. And so I thank you, my Father, for the time that you've given us here this morning and just pray for the barbecue that we're going to have. Bless the food to our bodies for our strength and health and just bless our fellowship, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.